Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. This is a very special day because our guest today is none other than my wife. This is the first time she has done this, but we're doing this because we're announcing a special project that we've just begun, and I'll tell you more about that in a second, and also because this is the last call we will have before our STAND Awards dinner, because we will not have a call next Tuesday, because our STAND Awards dinner happens next Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the Tyson's Corner Marriott. So I'll talk more about that in a few minutes as well. But right now, let's have a word of prayer as always. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for all the goodness and the greatness that we see around us. We can always find plenty to complain about, and we can always find plenty to have angst about, but we're also very, very grateful that we have so much to be joyful about. First of all, that we are here, healthy, and clothed in our right minds with the ability to engage the world around us, and that's a blessing. Because, Lord, we know that every day people are snatched out of time and hurled into eternity. Not too long ago, one of my son's friends, young man in his early 50s, passed away. And so we do not take life for granted. We do not take for granted the fact that we are yet in the land of the living and that we are here to serve you and to serve our country, to serve humanity, to give you praise, to give you honor, to give you glory, and to, in our behavior, in our actions, to bring glory to your holy and righteous name. So we are so very grateful for that. Lord, we do pray for our country, because sometimes it does appear that the country is just accelerating in its degeneration. We see crime running rampant. We see people more prone to mob action, whether it's looting a store or it's blocking a subway because some out-of-control young man ended up dead as people tried to, particularly a young Marine, tried to restrain him, and he ended up losing his life. And people are more angry with this young Marine and angry about somebody trying to step in to help people than they are about the level of crime and disorder that is plaguing all of our streets across this country, spilling out beyond the cities now into suburban areas. And so, Lord God, we know that there are a lot of things wrong. The fact that our border is not only open, but we may be about to experience a surge that goes beyond anything we've ever seen before as Title 42 is lifted. Lord, people are facing inflation. Businesses are closing because they can't remain open and face the mass looting that they have to deal with. Our project for Forgotten Children, the Forgotten Children Project, is chronicling the fact that now since 2020, we've seen over 330 children lose their lives in senseless violence in the inner city. And so, Lord God, there is plenty that is wrong. But we want to be a force for what is right. We want to be a force for righteousness. And we believe that the key to our country's future is in people like us standing up for what we know is right, without hatred, without bitterness, without violence in our hearts, just a desire to do what is right and to lead others in the right direction. Help us to do this, Lord God. Help us to save this country really from itself. Because we have a president that many of us believe is totally corrupt, has been perhaps bought by communist China or Ukraine or who knows who else, because his family has been enriched for doing absolutely nothing other than selling him and making him available. You said righteousness exalts the nation, sin is a reproach to any people. And you said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And, Lord, we want to do some rejoicing. We've got a presidential election coming up, congressional elections coming up. We want to see people in office, not just Republicans, Lord, but people who actually love you, love this country, want above all to do what is right, not according to the whims and opinions and passing fads, but according to the standards of your word, the absolute standards. Standards which say there's no such thing as a marriage between two men or two women. Standards which say there are only two genders, male and female. Standards would say that a baby in the womb is a sacred human being made and shaped in the image of Almighty God and has a right to life. And so, Lord God, we know these standards are inviolable and they will never change no matter what human beings may think. And so help us to uphold those standards, Lord, and secure the future of our country by leading our country to righteous standards. Help us to work together across racial and cultural lines. The left wants to point the finger and say that we on the conservative side are a bunch of haters and bigots. Now, we know the truth. We know that that's not true. Not that there aren't haters in our country or bigots in our country or racists in our country. They're there, but we know they're marginal. They're unimportant. They're really ultimately irrelevant because the vast majority of us just want the very best life we can for ourselves as well as for one another. We want our children to be able to grow up in peace. We want them to be able to worship God without being persecuted for it. We want to have an economy that has opportunity for all. And we want people to be judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character and the competence and the skills that they bring to the workplace. Lord, it's as Ronald Reagan once said, the answers are simple. They're just not easy. And so help us, Lord God, to bring these simple answers back to our country, even though they may be hard. And we thank you and praise you for everything you've done for Stan. Thank you for our dinner coming up next week. And thank you for all these patriots and activists who joined this call week to week. Lord, may they be blessed in their various fields of action and all that they seek to do for you and for this nation and for our people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Okay, do we have our guest? Is our guest speaker on?
I believe so.
Oh, there you go.
It okay. Took a little doing, but here I am.
Okay, that's right. I keep forgetting because you're having a little texting problem which you got to solve. Mm-hmm. That's inside baseball. We won't get into that.
Right.
But great, doll. This is great. Well, this is an honor to have really kind of the first lady of Stand on the call, because you've never been our guest speaker before. So this is wonderful. So let me I'm going to ask you some questions, and folks, you can press *6 to join in because you may have some questions of this very wise woman that we have on the line. Happens to be my wife. Look, folks, we have decided to do something between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and this is the first time we're announcing. We'll have a letter coming out soon. But we're declaring the period between Mother's Day and Father's Day to be Celebrate Traditional Marriage and Family Month. We all know that we've got this abomination of a thing called gay pride or LGBTQ pride or whatever that thing is they call that abomination. And we thought, you know, why don't we celebrate traditional marriage and family? Because there is no question that they are under attack. Marriage is under attack. Family is under attack. And we need to exalt that, because all this crime that we're seeing, you all know that most of these people committing these crimes, no matter what their racial background, most of the people committing these crimes are from broken homes. You know, there are very few people in jail who come from stable two-parent families. I didn't say there aren't any. They are, because people ultimately make their own decisions. But they are in the vast minority. Most of the people in prison come from broken homes, single-parent families, usually families in which there is no father or the father has abandoned them. And that's the source of our social problems, that we're no longer raising children in stable two-parent monogamous families. In Chicago, 82% of black children are born out of wedlock. 82%. In general, in America, about two-thirds of children will spend some of their time without a mother and a father in the home. This stuff is having tremendous social ramifications. And likewise, when you go back to a period where we had stable families, you had much less crime. As the family declined, the crime went up, and it continues to do so. So this is important, and I'm going to ask you all, this is the first year, of course, it's like Celebrate American History Month in September. I'm going to ask you all, talk to your pastors, talk to your churches, to share with your family. We're going to be producing material that we can share with you in order to emphasize the importance of family, what it means to be a father, what it means to be a mother, what does family as God designed it mean to us. And you all know, of course, that abuses and suicides, mental illness, all of these things are far more prevalent in broken homes. So this is a big, big issue. So we want individuals and families and churches and organizations to join with us in celebrating Traditional Marriage and Family Month from Mother's Day to Father's Day. So this is the official kickoff here at Stan, having my wife on this call to talk about motherhood, because I have to tell you all, she is the greatest mother I've ever met. Second only, perhaps, I mean, and the second is my youngest daughter, who just had her first child. She's probably the second greatest mother I've ever met. Not to take anything away from all the other great mothers out there, but forgive me, I'm a little bit biased.
Yes.
So, all right. So, darling, look. The first thing I want to ask you is, you know, we really are in a situation. Harvard came out with this thing. We're no longer going to call women mothers or pregnant mothers or pregnant women. We're going to call them birthing persons. And of course, Nancy Pelosi came out and said, we need to stop using motherhood and fatherhood. We need gender neutral terms. I don't know exactly what that means, but motherhood in many ways has been under assault for really a generation with the rise of the feminist movement. Why is motherhood, would you say, so important?
Well, first let me say that I am honored to have been asked to speak to this topic. I loved and love being a mother. It is the most important thing that we can do. In fact, it is a privilege to be born female and to have the ability to give birth to another human being, and I've done it three times. I was ready to do it one more time, but we won't talk about that. And I enjoyed the whole process. I loved being pregnant. Didn't particularly love the birthing process, but I loved the result of it. And I am just elated. I'm just excited that the Lord gave me this privilege, this honor, by making me a female. And I just believe that that is what He has called females to do, to give birth to another generation and to raise, really, to raise the children for Him. And we tend to think that our children, they're ours and for us only, but no, He has given us the privilege of giving birth to another human being to raise them for Him, for His glory, and for His honor. And I can't say that I've always understood that throughout the time that we were raising children, but I understand it now. I knew they were important, and I knew that we had to raise them to be good citizens. And, of course, we taught them the word, but I didn't have a clear biblical spiritual perspective on motherhood. And it is God-ordained. And I think the people who are talking about birthing persons and all of that nonsense, they don't understand God. They don't know God. And they don't understand the purpose for which they were made and for which they were born. So it's just totally ridiculous. I don't even think about that, what they're doing out there in the world. I think about what we are going to do to help boys and girls, males and females, understand God's purpose for mothers, for fathers, for the family. And that is my focus. The last couple of weeks preparing for Mother's Day, that has been our Sunday school lesson, talking about God's purpose for your mother, how special your mother is, and how we're supposed to treat our mothers with respect and dignity, and understand that they, God ordained them to be your mother. And it is special, and they are special, and you are to treat them as such.
Now, we know we're living in a culture where gender has really become a major issue, and this is apparently particularly true for young girls who are being, just looking at a story in which this mother sent her child to school for some special thing they had, and little did she know, there was a hidden agenda, and the hidden agenda was to ply this six-year-old child with all of this gender nonsense. There's no difference between males and females. Obviously, there is. How do parents, would you suggest parents navigate all of that in order to keep their children from being confused about it? Because that confusion is all around us.
Well, go to the Word, and the Word says that God has made them male and female. And so you have to start in this day and time, you have to start them young, understanding that. And we are doing that here at the Maximal Potential Christian Academy. I focus on that scripture, and when the opportunity presents itself, I highlight male and female. God has made us male and female, and we have a part to play. Each has a part to play in seeing to it that our families are whole and doing what they are supposed to do, raising boys and girls to be mighty men and women of God. They are male and female, and that's it. And we don't accept anything else. For a parent to accept their 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, whatever, saying that they are something different than what God made them is an abomination, and it's up to the parents to stand strong and say, no, you are not. You are a girl. You were born a girl. That's the way God made you, and you are nothing different, and we're not going to give in to, pay attention to what these so-called people that are in authority know, these experts, what they are saying. It's up to the parents to stand strong, stay on the Word, and stand strong against all of that and not give in to what the experts tried to tell them.
Now, you and I raised our children in a very different atmosphere than what we have now. We saw the beginnings of this, though, and we took our children, took our two youngest children at that point, out of public schools and put them in Christian schools. What do you say to mothers who are sending their children off to school and we just found out maybe their kids are learning things that they don't agree with, don't want them to learn, but the school is telling them, in some states, the school is telling them, you don't have anything to say about it. We're going to do it whether you like it or not. What would you recommend to mothers that they do? Should they pull their children out of these schools? Should they get more active? What approach should they take to protect the innocence of their children from being indoctrinated with this stuff?
Both of those things. You go to the school board and you let them know where you stand. Take a stand against the what this woke agenda that's being pushed on our children. And, of course, take them out of public school. That would be my suggestion, my strong suggestion, take them out of public schools and put them in a Christian-based school. That's what the Maximum Potential Christian Academy is all about. We want to be available to any Christian family who wants their children educated according to the Word. That is the only thing that you can do at this point in time, is take your children out of, if you're a Christian, you don't agree with what's being taught, and you want your children raised according to the Word, get them into a Christian school. And I know that that can be expensive. We dealt with that even, 30 years ago. But it's worth it in the end to have your children in a safe environment, an environment where they are loved, and most importantly, an environment in which the Word of God is central.
Yeah, you of course, I didn't give you the kind of introduction I sometimes give with at least a little thumbnail sketch, but you've got obviously a bachelor's degree, you've got two master's degrees, a master's degree in library science, a master's degree in teaching as well. And so you know what education is all about because you're professionally trained. Mothers have their own vision for what they want their children to learn, to know, to understand, even if they're not professional educators. What do you say about sending your children, say, even to college, to a college that is in contradiction to everything that a mother spent maybe a lifetime trying to instill in a child? Does that, first of all, at that stage, the child's 18 years old, does it matter? Because you and I look back on this and say, you know, we might have done things a little differently if we knew then right. What we know now. But what would you say to parents today?
So, it does matter. And I would suggest a Christian college that you believe is steadfast on the Word, is strong in the Word. And we heard a story not too long ago of parents who sent their child to a Christian school only to find out later that a lot of this wokeness had been weaved into the curriculum, and it has had an impact on that child, now an adult, but still has had an impact. So we have to be very diligent about what we allow our children to be around and to be a part of. And we have to know what is being taught in schools and in colleges. Motherhood, fatherhood, it doesn't stop. You are always a mother. You're always a father, and you have to be involved with what your children are around, what they are doing. You've got to be involved so you can lead them and guide them through that process. It's parenting is discipleship. And so it never stops. It never stops. You are all have to be there. And if you have the kind of relationship with your children that they respect you respect them, they are going to want your input. They are going to want you to give them suggestions and help them make good choices. And so what Christian parent would do, they would be praying for and praying with their children to ask the Lord to lead them and guide them to the school that their child should go to, even if we are doing that with our grandbaby, finding appropriate daycare. We want our baby in a Christian environment, even at 1 year old. We want to sow those seeds of the Word of God in them as early as possible. And so it's this parenting never ends. And you have to be diligent, and you have to be prayerful all the way through college. And so that you send your child, you've taught them the way of the Word, the way of God, and you want them to continue that throughout their lives, and you don't want them to go into an environment that is going to wash that all away and negate that, all that you have instilled in them. So we have to be diligent about every aspect of their lives.
You know, we've never done a call like this where we're talking about motherhood because, frankly, even though things have changed pretty dramatically over the last few years, we just kind of took that for granted. There was no, it was not like we had to have a discussion, but we really are in a position now, a situation now, where we've got to exalt motherhood and celebrate it, since at this point we're being told, well, two men are just as good in a family. You know, two homosexual men can raise children too, or as in Cambridge, Massachusetts, a group of people can do it, or Hillary Clinton, it takes a village, which really what it means is it takes the government. That's what she's really saying. But now we're in a position where we really do need to encourage mothers. So what would you say? We've got people on the line. And by the way, folks, I know I'm doing most of this interview. I'll take a couple of questions, though, before we end the call, if you have any. And if you have any thoughts about how we can put flesh on this importance of honoring motherhood and teaching the next generation how to be good mothers, by all means, call us and let us know either what you're doing or what someone else you know is doing, because we're going to put some flesh and bones on this. This is just sort of the opening salvo of dealing with this. But what would you say to the mothers out there who say, wow, it is hard. Marriage is on the rocks. Men often abandon their families. The state, the whole culture now kind of denigrates the idea of the traditional family. So what would you say to mothers that right there who might feel discouraged and might feel like, man, this is really taxing and really tough?
I would encourage mothers who are feeling discouraged, feeling down, to get in the Word and to know who you are as a child of God. God has ordained you to raise children, to give birth, and He is going to give you what you need if you're trusting Him to raise your children the way that He wants them to be raised. If you know who you are, that is the key. Knowing who you are as a child of God, knowing that God loves you, He has a plan for you, and if you are a female, one of His plans for you is that you give life to the next generation, and He is going to give you everything you need to do that. That is the key to just knowing who you are as a child of God, and knowing that you are special in His sight, and He has endowed you with all that you need to raise your children for Him, and to understand that motherhood is a spiritual matter. You know, society has convinced us, I guess, that that's what we're supposed to do, as we're supposed to have babies, raise them. But how do we? They haven't told us how we raise them, and the church hasn't done a good job of that either. But we are going to do things differently. We're going to let women know and girls know. We're going to train them here at Maximum Potential Christian Academy. We are going to train them up from the beginning to know that you are special in God's sight. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And to be able to give birth, to be a mother, is something magnificent. It is something spectacular. And that you are to embrace it and enjoy every moment of it. I tell young families that I see now, enjoy every moment. I tell our daughter that, enjoy every moment that God has given you with this baby. And it is just, actually, it is the birth of our granddaughter who has given me a new vision of motherhood and what it is all about. I think of Proverbs 139:14, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And with the technology today, we saw our grandbaby being knitted in her mother's womb, being put together. Seeing that, what can you say but God? This is, it's a miracle. This is God's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. So I have a new appreciation, having seen the ultrasounds and watched Journey being put together and seeing how she looks like what she did in the womb. Outside of the womb, she looks like what she did in the womb. So that's nothing but God. That is a miracle. Motherhood is ordained by God, and we should, mothers, embrace it, receive it, because he thinks you are spectacular. You are spectacular in his sight, and there's nothing greater than being a mother. I feel privileged that God created me female so that I could give birth to our three marvelous children. They are a tremendous blessing to us.
Amen.
And to me as a mother. And I enjoy the time that I spent with them. I couldn't wait for summer vacation, because we get to spend more time together doing things. And I just enjoyed transporting them back to school, to and from school, and through their extracurricular activities. It was a privilege, and it was an honor for me to do that. And I loved it and wouldn't take nothing for my journey, and I am just so grateful to God that he allowed me the privilege of raising his children. And I am grateful that he partnered me with you to have these marvelous children. They are exceptional, and maybe I'm being they're exceptional.
They are. There's no question about it. They are handsome.
And they are beautiful, and they are smart and creative, and I am just pleased to have had a part in that.
Amen. Well, look, we got one question. Folks, press star 6. We'll take another 5 or 6 minutes or so to have you ask questions or make comments. You are on with Theodora Jackson, my wife. We've been married for 52 years come September. So she's raised all three of our children. Well, we've raised them together, but she's been the mother to all three of our children. So she knows whereof she speaks, both as a mother and as a professional teacher, because you've also taught for about 25 years in the public schools, actually, and now you're teaching now at our Christian school. So, we've got some questions up. Let's take the first one. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
It's Angie Williams from Williamsburg. I've been there. How are you? Hi there. Hi. Everything you said, Theodora, and I bless you in the name of Jesus. I just, I could not have said it better myself, my exact sentiments about motherhood and enjoying every day. What I want to ask you about is, how many churches are you aware of that might have something similar to a Titus II program where the older women teach the younger women how they should live a godly life as wife and mother?
All right, Angie.
Thank you, Angie. Go ahead, Dawn.
I don't know of any churches that are doing that formally. But we certainly here at The Called are doing that informally and just talking to our young women and encouraging them in the way of the Lord, and we're just letting our lives speak and doing what we are supposed to do in the sight of God. And so formally, I don't think there are any. I don't know of any that's doing that formally. But we are here talking to always trying to lead, direct our young women as mothers. And we are encouraging them through the school. We are encouraging them in that way as well.
Well, you have a mothering spirit, and I've often heard younger women, in fact, even some of the older women, speak of you as their mother, as their mother, you know, because they say, you know, Sister Jackson, which is what they call you at church, you know, Sister Jackson will let you know what you need to know. So you have a mothering spirit about you, and I think that has impacted our entire ministry with the older women. But look, anything more we can do, because I know there is this generational separation that I think is also fostered, where the young people don't think that the older people have anything to offer them. They want to do their own thing, but they don't know one of the best things they can do is sit under an older, godly woman who can speak into their lives. It's one of the best investments they will ever make. So,
Amen. So
thank you, Angie. Let's take another one.
Yes, good afternoon, Bishop and Sister Jackson. This is Dr. Johnson from Texas.
Melvin. All right, Dr. Melvin, God bless you.
Looking forward to seeing the two of you and all the others next week.
But, yes, sir.
And Sister Sheena sends her love. And so she's taking care of one of our grandsons right now, trying to put him
<Okay. laughs>
But the question I since we have both of you all together, are there any words of encouragement for pastors, particularly in some of our churches? Well, we know we have illegitimacy rates, abnormally high, and bringing kids, bringing people together, and creating God-fearing and God-obeying families.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a great question, Dr.
Yes,
Melvin. Yeah, go ahead, darling.
Well, we have dealt with that on occasion at some point in the ministry. You know, I just have to say that it goes back to seed, sowing seed in these young people very early on. I grew up in church, but I don't remember being taught about motherhood, fatherhood for that matter, and just how special those roles are and that they are ordained by God. And I think we've lost that. Growing up in our church when I was a young person, that wasn't even, sexual matters weren't even discussed. And I think that's where we need to go. We just need to be real about relationships, romantic relationships, and let people and help young people to understand that you want to be married to the man or the woman that God has for you. We need to teach our young people to seek God in everything that they do, starting with a college. What college does God want you to go to? Not even that. What career does God want you to go into? We need to instill in our young people that God has a plan and a purpose for their lives and teach them to seek his face for what it is he has for you to do. And then I think everything else will probably fall into place if we begin to teach them at a young age that God has a plan and a purpose for you and seek him for that plan and purpose. And they will learn that, having a child outside of the bounds of marriage is not God's plan.
And, you know, look, this is hard for all of you. This is hard because, look, when you're dealing with children who have not grown up in a two-parent family where the father and mother are married and both are their actual biological parents and all that, as opposed to a revolving door of men coming in and out of their mother's house because maybe she didn't marry the guy who got her pregnant and all that. When you're dealing with that, and then you're trying to give children a different model, I mean, look, that presents some difficulties, but we've got to do it. Okay. We've simply got to point out that pregnancy outside of marriage is sex outside of marriage is wrong, and the way you avoid that is not by abortion. You avoid that by waiting for the man or the woman that God has for you, marrying them, and then you have children. And by the way, just as an aside, the data shows that when people do that, guess what? They're not poor. They don't have problems with the police. They don't end up locked up. I mean, all of these social problems are that we're experiencing in our country are very much related to the fact that there's very little family formation. And there are a lot of kids basically raising themselves or often being raised by people who haven't even finished being raised themselves yet. So we've got to do it. This is God's model. Whether your mother and your father follow it or not, this is God's model. And if you want to have a good life, this is what you've got to emulate. So,
That's right.
Okay, let's take another one. We've got time for... If you all make them quick, we got time for a couple more before we have to end the call.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me? This is Claire
yes.
Lopez in
hey,
Northern
Claire.
Virginia. Hello, and Teodora and Bishop, it's such a wonderful idea that you're holding this call today. I want to wish Teodora a happy Mother's Day in advance. I am so happy that I got to be a mother. My own daughter, now grown and married. We're waiting for grandchildren. Thank you very much for doing this program today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
Oh, good. Good, Claire. Good.
Thank you so much, Claire. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you, Claire.
Happy Mother's Day to you, too. Yes. And to all of you out there, happy Mother's
Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Yeah. Okay, let's take one.
Day.
Yes, indeed. Let's take one more.
Yes. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Ham from Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, Pastor Villa Ham, welcome.
Yes, indeed. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and I am elated that this topic is on the floor today because I myself being mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and great-great-grandmother.
Oh, my goodness, awesome.
So, listen, I know what it feels like. I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's why I myself and I teach our teens, there's a sacred cow here that we need to kick over. And I'm good for kicking sacred cows over. And that is calling our children kids. Because you know, you are an educator, and I love that, and I love that you've studied and you've researched, and you know the name of the nature of it, and the scripture tells you that in 2 Thessalonians. And so when I teach on children, which is my favorite that I have the month of June, thank you, Bishop, for bringing that up. Because the month of June is children's month for us.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, speak on when you call the, as the scriptures say, the nature of it. You're calling actually what the nature of a thing. The name of it, excuse me, is the nature of it. And the difference when you call children kids and children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
I agree with you. I agree.
Thank you.
And I refrain from using that word, kids. I call them children, and here at school, I'm calling them mighty men and women of God.
Well, look, and that of course goes even deeper than that. It goes beyond that because you're right. People can speak bad things into their children by labeling them. You know, you're stupid. You never do anything right, or you're just like your father, or you're just like your mother, meaning in a negative way, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're right. You're speaking the nature into that child when what you ought to be doing is what my wife has been doing during this call, talking about how magnificent motherhood is and how wonderful children are. And by the way, we feel – obviously, we love our children, but we love children, period. I mean, we really do. I have to admit, I will sometimes slip into kids, so I've been rebuked. But we love them. I said in my sermon, I think I said this in my sermon on Sunday, yes, or maybe it was the week before, that God put a natural instinct in us to love and protect children and every human being, even if they're not yours. And the devil has really subverted that. Abortion is a subversion of the natural instinct to protect your children. All this stuff that they're doing to children in these schools is a subversion of the natural instinct to protect the innocence of children. And so this is a violation of really what God intended, which is that children be nurtured and protected, their innocence protected, and they be exposed to things only when they are of an age and that they can handle those things and assess those things, having been taught the foundational truths they need to know in order to deal with the world around them, as opposed to being indoctrinated into accepting things that will only destroy their lives. So point well made. You know, probably some of the people on the call say, well, yeah, I do use kids from time to time. But I think it goes to an even deeper issue than that, which is how people label children in a way that only serves to harm them rather than help them. Okay, darling. Well, look, we're out of time. If you want to bring some greetings, you can tell people about our service on Sunday.
Oh yeah, our Mother's Day service Sunday here at the call at 11 a.m. Our speaker will be Pastor LaWanda Swan. She and her husband, Pastor Touch the Heart Ministries in Middletown, Delaware, and she happens to be my niece, and she has quite a testimony to share. And she is a mighty woman of God. She is a mother, wife. She is the mother of six children and grandmother of two. And she is a counselor in a Christian school. And she has many stories to tell, and she's going to encourage mothers that your prayers are needed, and they never continue to pray for our children. We have to do that continually, and you will be encouraged if you're here on Sunday. You will be encouraged to keep on praying for your children, because in the end, you will be victorious, and you will see them come to the Lord.
Amen. Well, darling, you have been a great mother to our children. There's no question about that. I am grateful to you for having stuck with me for 52 years.
Well, actually, it's going to be 53 in September, but who's counting?
Wait a minute. Do I have my math off? 53?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. It will be 53. That's right. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And
so it's already 52 years.
And it has been my privilege to be your wife and stand with you in all that you're doing in the kingdom, and to be a part of what you're doing. And I am grateful that, like I said earlier, that God partnered put us together for such a time as this. And we do have three great children, a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, and a very special grandbaby. And
Amen.
We are excited about all that God is doing in our lives.
All right, darling. Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us. It's been wonderful. And I will see you in a few hours.
Yes, you will. God bless you, everybody,
okay.
And see you soon.
All right, darling. Well, folks, those of you who haven't met my wife, you just did, at least by telephone. I hope you'll have a chance to meet her face-to-face. She's a wonderful, beautiful, bright woman and the love of my life. Now, our dinners, 1 week from today. If you didn't get tickets, complimentary tickets yet, you still can. But I think we've got to give the final count on Thursday, which means you've got 2 days to get your requests in for complimentary tickets. We are almost out, but we can still accommodate you if you want to come. We're trying to get as many people in as we can, and because of the generosity of our donors, we're able to give away these tickets that are selling for $150. The only thing we ask is, if you get tickets, you got to show up, or you got to let us know before the end of the day on Thursday so that we don't end up paying for dinners that don't get used, because that happened last time, and it really is just a terrible waste of money to do that. So that's our only request. Other than that, we are happy to have you there, and we're happy to give you tickets, and it's going to be a tremendous event, folks. Believe me, if you come, you will not regret having come. It is going to be uplifting and strengthening and encouraging, and you're going to have an opportunity to help and support Stand and learn more about what we're doing. So it's just going to be great. Next Tuesday, 7 p.m., Tyson's Corner Marriott in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. The only other thing I'd say is I've been off the air for a while with work being done on my studio. For those of you who joined me for E.W. Jackson for America every morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on all of our outlets, that's Facebook, that's ewjacksonforamerica.com, that's standamerica.us, and so forth. I am back. I started this morning. I will be back live streaming tomorrow morning talking about the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. So please be sure to join us. We'd be glad to have you. And don't forget, if you can't come to the dinner, you can't be a part of that because your transportation, busyness, whatever, help us. We have just signed a purchase and sale agreement for 142 acres of land. 142 acres of land, folks. And that 142 acres of land is only going to cost us $800,000. Now, you probably just fell off your seat when you heard that, because how in the world can 142 acres of land here in Southeast Virginia only cost $800,000? I mean, it's God. It's God, folks. It's God. And we've got about 55 days before we close. So help us. Help us, because we're going to put the stand offices, the church, the school, the studios, we're going to put everything in that building, including a vision at one day to have a boarding school where some of these kids that we're trying, yeah, I guess, some of these children that I'm trying to help can be taken out of the environment that will only lead them down the same path, unfortunately, that the prior generation walked down, which is a path of destruction. So help us, folks, whatever way you can. If it's nothing but $5, help us. Be a part of it. Pray for us. Encourage us. Do everything you can. And if you're out there listening right now and you got $1 million to spare, now you know where you can give it and you can really make a difference, okay? There are a lot of ministries that are already built. They're already up. They're already running. They got multi-million-dollar budgets. That's where we're trying to go. If you want to help be a part of getting something off the ground, it's already a going concern. It's already happening. We're already being effective, but you want to help us become even more effective and have more impact, put us in your will, okay? Make a major donation now or put us in your will. Stand is certainly in my will and my wife's will because we believe in what we're doing, and we want to make sure that whatever wealth we have when we pass from this earth, it goes to the causes that we believed in because we love our God, we love this country, and we want to be a part even when we've departed, we want to be a part of making sure that America remains the land of the free and the home of the brave. So any of you out there right now who are supportive and you can do more because you've got the resources, now is the time to step up, and you can be a part of building a tremendous campus that we're going to have to support all of the work that the Lord has for me to do. So, look, God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.